At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. When a study found the maternal mortality rate in Texas had apparently doubled in a two-year period, the news generated national headlines. But the Texas Department of State Health Services now says the number of maternal deaths is drastically lower than previously reported. Why the difference? The state points to how the deaths were counted. Officials had been selecting the wrong option in an electronic system, and that classified the deaths incorrectly. Texas Tribune reporter Marissa Evans talked with David Brown, host of Texas Standard.
How much lower first? We're talking about a pretty dramatic drop in the number.
It went from 147 in 2012. Uh-huh. With the new methodology, it's 56.
I want to make sure that I have some clarity of thought on what exactly happened. Was this a simple screw-up where someone pulled down the wrong thing on by entering data? Or is this a case more of where numbers can be made to work one way or another? And I think some people may say, wait a minute, if the numbers are this dramatically different, something's happening.
So the way it works right now is we have a checkbox on death certificates. So when a coroner, a medical examiner, any official of that magnitude is trying to look at a death certificate for a woman, they have to check whether or not she was pregnant at the time she died or before in previous months before she died. And it's an electronic form. And so mistakes do happen. And the study does make a note of that. You know, the way that the checkbox is currently set up, it's like a drop down menu. So people are liable to make mistakes, unfortunately.
What is the new methodology that you've referred to a couple of times here? What does that literally mean?
So the way the new methodology works is researchers essentially go back through all of the maternal deaths that were marked, and they go through and make sure that they were actually maternal deaths. So they're cross-referencing birth certificates, death certificates, hospital discharge records, mm-hmm. general medical records, really trying to dig down and make sure that a woman who was marked as maternal death was actually pregnant before she died, at some point before she died. And also that kind of negates how that checkbox works, because if someone mischecked the box, well, then you might have more maternal deaths than you realize. And that's problematic in terms of data, in terms of policy making. And keep in mind, you know, yes, they were able to find out like there's been this, not as many women died, but they were still even able to find new deaths that hadn't been marked before. So that's also why this particular way of doing this matters.
So where does that leave Texas? I mean, the lawmakers were so alarmed by those early numbers, they created this maternal mortality and morbidity task force. Now mm-hmm. I can only imagine that some of those lawmakers are thinking, a clerical error? Nobody could catch this before?
Well, you know, the task force, for example, that was renewed during the 2017 session, that still very much matters. Some things are still important to look at. So how are women being served with postpartum depression? Mm-hmm. How are people accessing mental health services and substance abuse services? All of that still matters. I think, you know, having this clarity with the data is important for legislators moving forward. I get the sense that they're still going to be focused on this issue, but better data is hopefully going to help them come up with better policy solutions.
That was Texas Tribune reporter Marissa Evans talking with David Brown, host of Texas Standard. From healthcare to immigration to feuding with his own attorney general, President Trump hasn't shied away from being at odds with members of his own party. Frontline has a new documentary that looks into the GOP under Trump's leadership. And today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with producer Michael Kirk about why the Republican Party was unprepared for the upheaval Donald Trump would bring.
They never thought he had a chance to plow his way through Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and all the rest. But he did. He prevailed, so that by the summer, when he was the presumptive nominee and he came to this famous lunch with the Senate Republicans, I think they really didn't think he had a chance, and they didn't really care very much what he had to say. The polls were down. They didn't really believe anybody could beat Hillary Clinton, especially Donald Trump. So they hadn't really paid very much attention to him and didn't really care what he thought about anything. And he was walking around essentially on a victory lap, hoping that he could spot people that he could make demonstration projects out of, you know, who he could exercise his muscles with. It was really a fascinating beginning where the establishment Republicans didn't actually know what he knew intuitively, which was how to use his base. And I think it resulted in more or less a complete capitulation of the GOP in Washington by the time last Christmas came around.
The Frontline documentary Trump's Takeover airs tonight at 9 on KERA-TV. This episode of Think airs tonight at 10, and you could subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Every week, KERA's One Crisis Away project examines life on the financial edge. Today, a look at economic opportunity in Dallas County. A new study by the Communities Foundation of Texas and the left-leaning Center for Public Policy Priorities evaluated education, employment debt, housing, and health care across the county. As Courtney Collins reports, the data shows experiences vary greatly from zip code to zip code.
Phrases like recession-proof and Texas miracle get thrown around a lot in the Lone Star State. Dallas's unemployment rate has been under 4% for 8 straight months. Mayor Mike Rawlings says that doesn't mean everything is rosy.
I am a believer that this city is very successful. But today, we're going to focus on the glass half empty.
Meaning Dallas struggles with poverty and inequality. For example, in 1999, median household income in Dallas County was $62,000. In 2015, it had dropped to $52,000. That's a decline of 16%. The state of Texas only saw a 2% drop over the same time frame. Francis DeVinny is chief operating officer for the Center for Public Policy Priorities and announced these results at a Tuesday morning news conference.
It's not necessarily that a person's working at the same job they were working at 15 years ago and they're being paid less for that job. What's happening is that the jobs that people were working 15 years ago may not exist anymore. And so they've had to get different jobs that pay less.
Which means that while the unemployment rate is low, the jobs people have don't come with a big enough paycheck. And that's been true for a while.
Particularly after the economic crisis of 2008, Texas is one of the first states to come out of it. We came out of it very strong. But what we noticed when we looked at the data was that we lost good mid-wage jobs, and the jobs that we gained back were low-wage jobs.
The data from this report also shows there's a connection between income and racial segregation in Dallas County. High-income homes are grouped together in North Central Dallas, a predominantly white area. Low-income homes are concentrated in neighborhoods with more people of color. There are 11 census tracts in Dallas County where more than half the residents live in poverty, and the majority of those are south of downtown.
Even though we may not have the same kinds of overt racism in our policies that we had in the 1900s, we're still working our way out of it, and we still need to make sure that our policies and our practices look at the data and say, okay, you know what? This zip code or this group of people need something different to be able to balance the scales.
Because right now, the report shows the scales aren't balanced. DeVinny says the average white worker in Dallas County with just a high school diploma earns nearly as much as the average Latino or black worker with an associate's degree. People of color are more likely to be unemployed, and the average black worker makes 54 cents for every dollar earned by a white worker. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins says that has to change, and it needs to start with local business owners.
Look at the salaries of the people who work for you, the women, the single moms who work for you, African Americans who work for you, Hispanics who work for you. If they're not making the same amount of money as Anglos doing the same job, look in the mirror and think about what you're going to do about that.
The data painted an optimistic picture of a few things. The number of Dallas County residents with health insurance has increased by 322,000 since 2009. The Center for Public Policy Priorities attributes that to the passage of the Affordable Care Act. Both violent crime and property crime have also seen a steady decline over the last decade. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
The Communities Foundation of Texas provides financial support to KERA's One Crisis Away initiative. Clear skies in store for us tonight. Should be a low around 49 later on. Tomorrow, sunny with the high near 78. At 6:30, this is KERA News.